Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Let's all stand as we open up the Word of God and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 3 through 7, and then we'll be seated. Amen. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Can I See Your Adoption Papers? Huh? Can I see your adoption papers? Amen. Last week we saw God's grace in His Word. And how many remember what the TULIP stands for? Huh? T for what? What was the T for? Huh? Total depravity of man, right? Okay, what was the U? Unconditional election. Amen. What was the L? Limited atonement. What was the I? Irresistible grace. And then what was the P? The perseverance of the saints. In other words, God keeps you to the very end. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. So this is a continuance, because once we understand the grace of God, we need to understand how God sees us now. Not how we see God, is how God sees us. We may have a whole different perception, but we need to look in God's Word to see how He declares us now as righteous. Can I get amen? And so are we there? Ephesians chapter 1, let's read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us. Say that with me. Chose us. One more time. Chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of His Word. You may be seated. Saints, the Holy Spirit directed the Apostle Paul to use the term adoption to describe the process by which God establishes a relationship with a man and a woman who trusts Christ as Savior. And so, I have a precious aunt, her name is Aunt Eva, who could not have kids on her own, and she adopted two sons. And those two sons grew up to be wonderful citizens. We're praying for salvation for them, but they were raised really in a beautiful home, Anthony and Ricardo. But they never knew, at least I don't think till this day, their biological parents. So they were adopted. And what we're going to see here is that the child of God is adopted by King Jesus and His Father. Can I get amen? Come on, when you get a hold of this, man, you're going to look at it differently. You're going to look at your walk differently with God. Because many of us, sometimes, even when we first get saved, we're still thinking, oh man, God is so judging me. No, He judged us at the cross once and for all. And we're going to look at this. And so turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Look at this. Look at what the Word says. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of what? Adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, now. So when we came into the saving knowledge, no longer do we say, oh man, have mercy, oh God. No, we can say, Abba, Father, Daddy, Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Because he has set us free. He has quickened us. Last week we learned that we were dead spiritually. And a dead person cannot speak, cannot hear. But when God quickens this soul, our soul, when it's dead, God quickens us. And guess what he does? He allows us to open up our eyes to see the cross. And then we run to the cross. It's him enabling us. Because you couldn't do it on your own. You would never do it on your own. He has to do that mighty work. Can I get an amen? And so it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Look, when you came into the saving knowledge and the Spirit of God came upon you, you know without a shadow of a doubt now that you are a child of God. Why? Because things start to change almost overnight. For me, it was overnight. You know my testimony. I came to God with $500 of crystal meth in my sock. I didn't want nothing to do with God. My own brother used to always share the gospel with me, and I would just close my ear. I don't want to hear that. Leave me alone. Other people I would have, you know, confronted and said, what's up? But with Brother G, just, no, you know, thank you. I knew better. There's a line that some people just don't draw, and you don't cross. Amen? Come on. Saints, God's ultimate goal in salvation was the relationship made available through our adoption. What? Yes. Being declared not guilty was simply a necessary step in that direction. So when we came to the cross, he says, you're no longer guilty. Thank you, God. Paul capitalizes on the relational value of adoption. You have to understand adoption. We are encouraged to think of our Heavenly Father in the most intimate way now as Daddy. Thank you, Dad. Some of you here, your children are here with you, and they love their Daddy. Can I get amen? We love our fathers. Can I get amen? We'll always remember our fathers, whether they're alive or they've gone on. But our Heavenly Father lives in eternity. And this is what we got to get a hold of here. Oh, yes. Father, in the most intimate way, we call him Daddy. God desires an intimate relationship. I hope you know that. And he has taken it upon himself to remove any obstacle that could be in your life so that you can see truly who he is. Oh, yes. Look what Galatians says. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. See, before we came to Christ, the Bible says we were indicted. In other words, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we were all under the judgment. And then God, in his mercy, called us to the cross. And once and for all, he set us free from the bondage of the law. Look at this. That we might receive the adoption as what? Sons and daughters. That we could cry out, Abba. Oh, yes. Look at this. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Thank you, God. How many of you can honestly say that you call your Father in heaven, Abba, Father? Daddy. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Saints, Paul makes the connection between adoption and justification. You see, when we first get saved, we come to the cross, and he justifies us by his blood. He redeems us. So when we come to the cross and he nullifies everything now, it's as just as if we've never sinned. Well, how does that work? By the blood. By his blood. His blood can do that. Hallelujah. We can't do that, man. I don't care. You could get the biggest Brillo pad or SOS pad and try to scrub off your sins. You can't. But only the blood of Jesus can remove our sins. Can I get an amen? Only Jesus can. And so God's ultimate goal in salvation was the relationship made available through our adoption. Being declared not guilty was simply a necessary step in that direction. Now, what we have to get in our understanding, when we leave here today, for some of you that maybe are like, well, wait a minute, we have to look at this right up here. Court is adjourned. Court's adjourned. But there's still people that think their father's up there like a judge peering over them. I see what you're doing. I'm going to get you. God's not the boogeyman up there. He's a loving father. You got to understand that. He dealt with us at the cross. Can I get an amen? God does not intend for us to consider him as a stern judge peering over the bench. Oh, man, he's got his mallet. He's waiting to throw down the gavel on you. Thank you, God. Yet many believers have this perception of who he is in that same manner as I just mentioned. For some, many believers have this very perception of him as, remember, how many of you remember Dick Tracy? Okay, only a handful in here. You dirty rat, you're going to get it. I'm going to get you. Remember that? And that's how we think God's just chasing you down to point out your faults. I'm here to let you know that's the devil's job. He's the one that wants to trip you up. He's the one that wants to condemn you. God wants to give you life. God wants to bring peace. God fills your heart with love. God gives you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can I get an amen? But for some reason, they never get out of the courtroom. Some people are still in the courtroom, and they don't know how to step into the family room. Come on. We're the family of God. And if you think that he's there, man, with a whip and a belt waiting for you to mess up, you have a wrong perception of him. He's not like that at all. Listen, if he was like that, he would have never came to the cross for you. And this is an unfortunate view. But even worse, it is a precursor to doubting the teaching of eternal security. There's some people, man, we're gonna read a wonderful story when we close here, how God will refute those. Well, you know what? How many of you can honestly say at one point in time in your Christian walk that you backslid and went out? And did he destroy you? Did he just, because if you're truly his son and daughter, did he destroy you? Mm-mm. Bible says he left the 99 to go get the one. He let you stew there for a little while. He let you say, man, it was better in my father's house. Christians who live with the fear that the gavel may strike again, this time with a guilty verdict, you got the wrong perception of God. Totally wrong perception. The good news, saints, is that the judge pronounced you and me not guilty once and for all. Can I get an amen? Man, we've been washed and cleansed. Hallelujah. Man, our feet now are on a solid rock, and that is Jesus. And so what God did at the cross, yes, the verdict did come. Bam! Not guilty. And then what he did, he removed himself from the bench and came to be our Savior. What? Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. Hallelujah. Come on. Have you, those of you who been to real courts, have you seen the judge say, okay, not guilty, and then he comes out of his bench. He goes, you know, come to my house. We'll have dinner. No, what does he say? Next. Jesus didn't do that. I mean, what Jesus did, I mean, he went down and he took off the robe and he embraced us and says, I love you with an everlasting love. But you had to come to the cross first. And my father had to declare you not guilty. And it was my blood that I shed. Thank you, God. When you get a hold of this message this morning, man, some of you are going to get further liberated. Can I get an amen? Because the devil wants to trip you up. And so he walked behind the bench and said, family, family. You need to know, saints, that the courtroom days are over. Why? Because the Word of God always has to back up what Pastor Fee said up here. Can I get an amen? I can't give you a fairy tale and a wonderful story. No, we got to see what God declares this. Look at this in John, right up here. Most assuredly I say to you, who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment no more. Oh, God. Hallelujah, man. We were so guilty. We were so dead and rotten. And then now we don't have to face that judgment no more. Can I get an amen? That's what Jesus said. He said, him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. You got to get freed up today. Some of you are going, man, I know, man, I can't break this. I can't break. You know what? With God's power and his strength, he will help you. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Yeah, oh, yes, he will. He passed from death to life into, look at this, Jesus. Thank you, God. Look at that. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear my voice. We were all dead. Man, we were all walking dead. We were like this, night of the living dead. And then, man, he came and he quickened you. He let your eyes see him. He let your ears hear his voice. Hallelujah. Look at this. It says right here, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And come on, let's give a shout out because we are alive unto God. I know I'm alive unto God. And someone's probably saying, man, he had his Cheerios this morning. I have more than that. I got the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. Jesus. I got God living inside me. You got God living inside you. Can I get an amen? And look at this in verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. And so when we came to the cross, hallelujah, he said, not guilty. He gave him, hallelujah, the power to be the judge and also in the same breath to be our Savior. Whoa, God, thank you. You got to get a hold of this. Get a hold of this message, hallelujah. Saints, as a believer, our sins were nailed to the cross. That is a settled issue now. It is so settled at the mind of God that in the moment of our salvation, knowing full and well all the sins that were committed, that are even present, and even the ones to come, was nailed at the cross. Come on. We're going to see how he just undo you, and you are no longer his adopted son. That's a lie from the pit. And if someone's telling you that he can undo you, show me some scripture where that happens. It's not there. You see, I grew up in a denomination where all they wanted to do is inflict fear on you. Try to keep you all there because of fear. No, we walk in grace and love and peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Come on. And so everything was nailed at the cross, at the cross of Christ, knowing full well that all of our sins were there. And now we are a family adopted by God. Hallelujah. Adopting us to his family was not simply a courtesy God was extending to us as poor, wretched sinners. It wasn't like that. It was his goal from the very beginning. And just from our very beginning, but from the beginning of time, God made a plan for you and I. Come on. Here's the word right up here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us, what? In him, before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Now, let me just give you an insight here. When we wake up in the morning, we try to get before God. How many of you sometimes battle with thoughts? The dog starts barking. The doorbell rings. Come on. And then sometimes these old thoughts just come up. And then we're feeling, oh, man, I'm feeling worthless right now. Why is all this happening? Because we still live in a sinful body. Can I get an amen? We don't live in that pure, holy, transformed body just yet. But look what he says in here. No, let's go back. Let's go back one more time. One more time. Let's go back. Here we go. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. So how can you and I, who have sinful thoughts, who sin sometimes every day without knowing it, there's sins of omission and commission. What does that mean? Sins that we willingly do, and then there's some sins that we accidentally do, and they weren't on purpose. Okay? So there's a battle all the time, right? So how can we stand before him without blame before him in love? Through the blood. Through the blood. Only the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So when we came to the cross and he set us free, the blood covered us. And now when God looks down from heaven, he doesn't see a sinner. He sees, hallelujah, someone that is holy before him through the blood of Jesus. Can I get an amen? We got a new position in Christ. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Some of you are self-condemning. Oh, man, woe is me. No, hallelujah. It's what God has done for you, not what you can do for your father. There's nothing we could do to set us free. It had to be an act of mercy toward us. Yes, we all deserve death. Yes, we all deserve the worst. But he chose you to give you life. Aren't you so blessed to understand that? You got to get a hold of this. You got to get a hold of this. Look at this. Next verse. Having predestined us to adoption. So we had to go through the adoption process. Listen, for those of you that maybe never had children and maybe are still young and are thinking about adopting children, everything is through a court procedure. There has to be a judge. They have to analyze. They need to know that you are well-equipped and you financially secure, mentally stable, and a very good citizen of the state, so that they can entrust you with an adopted child. There's a process. Can I get an amen? But Jesus came throughout all the billions of people in the world, and he found you, and he called you, and he called you. He called you. He chose you. He picked you. Hallelujah. And we had nothing to do with it. Because the Bible says we all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he came looking for us. We didn't come looking for him. Look at this. By Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us now accepted in the beloved. You got to get a hold of this, that we are accepted in him. Man, the devil's a liar. People out there that don't know God, they will tell you something else. But you need to stand on God's word. Can I get an amen? Amen. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Let's go on to the next verse. In him we have redemption. What? Through his blood, we've been redeemed. Hallelujah. At one time, we were so wretched. Come on. I've heard some of your stories. You heard mine. We was wretched. Oh, my God. There's some things we did. We don't want no one to know we did that. Oh, yeah. But it didn't matter to God because he still chose you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That lets me know I don't care what you've done in life. He is there to forgive you and to cleanse you and to wash you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. According to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Look at this. Having been made known to us the mystery of his will. This was a mystery. Man, what I shared with you, my brother used to come share the gospel with me. Man,
that don't make sense to me. Because it was a mystery. It was a mystery. I had no clue. I didn't know that God was calling me even back then. And let me just say this. As soon as you were ushered out of your mother's womb, he was pursuing you. God was pursuing you. Oh, yeah, he didn't give up. How many are so blessed that he didn't give up on you? How many of us have given up on others? But he didn't give up on you, did he? Oh, no. And he won't give up on you because you are eternally his. Thank you, God. Which he purposed in himself. Next verse. Look at this. I want you to see this. All people, question, are all people adopted by God? I need you, this is a very hard question. Are all people adopted by God? Well, didn't, for God so loved the world that he gave his only, But how many people do you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that refuse God? And you know they have. Growing up in National City and growing up in the wrong direction, growing up with people that I ran with, I seen with my own eyes someone in my back seat. We got jumped by another gang, and an ice pick went into my friend's heart. And as he was dying, he was crying out for his mama. He didn't know God. He didn't say, oh, Jesus. We didn't know Jesus back then. We didn't know who he was. I was only 18 years old. And it's real. It's real regarding this adoption election that God has chose you and me, and he's chosen many. He's chosen millions of people, but then there's some people that refuse him. Why? Why is that? So we ask the question, are all people adopted by God? Huh? Are they? Saints, understanding that not all people are children of God, and that becoming a child of God only happens when you are adopted by God through faith in Christ Jesus, is important for understanding how and why God deals with people differently. So let's look at Galatians. For you are all what? Sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. This is what happened to us. We decided we want to follow Jesus. But he had to enable us. And when he washed you, he justified you, he cleansed you, he's sanctifying you right now. We can cry out now, Abba, Father. But our duty is to pray for those who don't know Christ. Can I get him? Because we don't know who he's going to call. So by faith, we cry out and we say, Lord God, my brother, my father, my daughter, my son, my aunt, my uncle, my friend, my co-worker. You cry out for their name. Can I get an amen? And we could turn off that heat now because it's hot right up here. Look at this. Galatians 3:26. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Saints, if we are born again, we have been adopted in the family of God, redeemed from the curse of sin, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, everything that Jesus has, he has given to you and I. Thank you, Lord. Yes, he has. Oh, yes, he has. Let's look at this. One more time. Let's go back. I forgot this one verse of scripture. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to what? The promise. How many of you can't wait to go to Israel? We're gonna walk where Abraham walked. We're gonna walk where Jesus walked. We're gonna see where King David ruled and reigned. Can I get an amen? And those places are still there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And look, because we are promised heirs, that takes us into eternity. Thank you, God. That's right. Wait a minute. I just saw what you did right now. I'm sorry. I'm counseling you. You're done. That's not how he treats us. If you think God's like that, you have a misperception of him.
It is now done at the cross. Once and for all. Can I get an amen? Once and for all. So if we are born again and have been adopted into the family of God, redeemed from the curse of sin, we are joint heirs with Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this verse of scripture right up here. But as many as received him, can you honestly say that you are his and he is yours? Are we his? Are we his? Say that with me. We are his. We are his. Look at this. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God. Not everyone's a child of God. Until you come to the cross, that's when you become the child of God. Oh, yes. You know what? Jesus was, who was he the most harsh with? The Pharisees, the religious folks. You know what he told them? You are of your father the devil. What? What? And Jesus was bold about it. You know why? Because they knew the teachings, but inside they were corrupt. And they had to come to the cross. And they refused him. But look at this. He gave them the right to become the children of God to those who believe in his name. And there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. And what is his name?
Jesus.
What is his name?
Jesus.
One more time. What is his name?
Jesus.
Come on. It's his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at this. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Aren't you so blessed? We were born a second time. Hallelujah. From above. Listen, God went to great lengths to die on the cross for us, to justify us. And so, if he has the power to deliver us from death, hell, and the grave, why would he want to throw you back right in there? That's not the God we serve. I'm going to ask you natural fathers, what transgression will your son do where you will just toss him away? Or do you always have mercy for him, no matter what he's done? There are some sons that are spending the rest of their life incarcerated. You still love him. You'll still go visit him. You know why? Because he could get set free behind bars. He could be more free than most people walking out here. Hallelujah. Doing their own thing. Free behind the cell. My goodness. Thank you, God. Because we've been born of God, not the will of man. Can I get an amen? Oh, someone can say, oh, yeah, yeah, just call, man. Just say a simple little prayer, man, and you're good. Yeah, you can go home and still live like the devil. Because there hasn't been a change. There has to be a true change. There has to be the Spirit of God that comes in and makes you come alive unto him. And when you become alive unto him, the Spirit of God, hallelujah, comes in and he seals your fate now with him. Thank you, God. How many are so blessed to know that? Look at this in Romans 8, 17. Look at this. Oh, in John. Remember, Jesus told Nicodemus, there's only one way to get into heaven. It, you know, there's so many religions out there. Oh, man, just throw up 50 Hail Marys and you're good to go. I'm sorry, those Hail Marys don't make it to the end zone. Oh, some of you just got that one, huh? Look at that. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Thank you, God. You know what? God gave me a revelation on the water and the Spirit. We are formed in our mother's what? And what's inside that placenta bag? Water. So we're born through the water, and then here comes the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Did you catch that? Everyone that's born into this world has to come the placenta way. And you have to be formed in water. So anyone that is born of the water and then of the capital S, Holy Spirit, that person cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Say that with me. You must be born again. One more time. You must be born again. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no, but wait a minute. I got a certificate hanging up on my wall. My first Holy Communion. My confirmation. Doesn't that work, God? You must be born again. Can I get an amen on that one? No knock on them. They mean well. I praise God for my Catholic upbringing. You know why? I was taught that there is a real devil and there's a real God. But I didn't know how much God loved me. Thank you, God. We got a preacher back there. He's going to be preaching soon. Hallelujah. Look at that. Look at the Romans right here. And if children, what? Then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Listen, just hold on. I know sometimes life looks like it has mistreated us. No, it hasn't. Listen, he didn't have to create us. He could have created someone else, but he created you specifically. Why? Because before the whole world was spoken into existence, he already knew your name. Man, you got to get a hold of this. He already knew you. And because he knew us, he says, hold on. I know things are going to get tough. You're going to suffer some things here on this earth. But when he comes back for us, we're going to be glorified with him. In other words, he already has that new body. All tailor-made for you. That's right. And the tailor doesn't come from the men's warehouse. He tailored it himself with his own hands. And it's waiting for you. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know that we're going to be glorified with him? In other words, he sees beyond what we see right now. This is a future tense. So he already sees you in that beautiful body that'll never die. We did a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful service Friday for my brother. And yeah, I know without a shadow of a doubt, she's in her new body. She's right there worshiping the King. Hallelujah. She fought the good fight of faith. She finished the race. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And now she was the Lord dancing and says, hold on, everybody down there. I'm going to see you guys once again. Amen. You just got to hold on. We got to hold on. Amen? Amen. And while you're here, ask God to use you. Amen. Be used by him. Amen. Say, God, I'm here waiting for you, but I'm going to be used by you. I'm going to tell others about Jesus. I'm going to tell others how good you are, how awesome you are. Oh, yeah. Because at one time, we were, how many believe that you were at one time slave to the devil? Man, he had you doing some awful things. Oh, yes, he was. He had your mind all convoluted. He had your heart divided. He caused you to have division even in your own family. He caused you to go astray. He caused you all kinds of things. But look what the Word of God says now about us. Let's go to the next verse. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a what? A son. Thank you, God. We're not a slave to old slew foot anymore. We are a son now, then an heir of God through Christ. Everything that God has in heaven is for you. Can I get an amen? Come on, you got to get this in your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't walk around, oh, woe is me. Oh, you know, and walk around like doop-de-doos. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doop-de-doing. No. Man, God has purpose and a plan for you. Hallelujah. There's hope in Christ, and he has equipped us with every spiritual gift. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Saints, part of the new relationship is that God now deals with us differently. Which includes, did you know, now as his child? How many of you have dear children and they're still at that tender age of being a youth? Or maybe even being a toddler? Bible says, spare the rod and you'll spoil the child. So sometimes you have to take the Board of Education to that seat of understanding. And because we are Christ,
every now and then, if we do fall out of the will, he'll take us into the whooping shed. Oh, I don't like it there. But look what God says here in his word, right in Hebrews. Look at this. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as what? As sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. So when God has to correct us, don't despise it. Say, oh, God, thank you. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you, God, that I can learn from this. Thank you, God, that I don't have to go that direction no more. But look what he says. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed that he cares about you? He doesn't let you run amok. He doesn't let you, man, now that you're saved, I could go sin in any way I want. No. He's saying, now walk in the newness of life. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And look at this. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And he scourges every son whom he receives. Thank you, God. I thank God. Hallelujah. Every now that, you know, I'm going to say it as gently as I can. But every now and then he comes and gives me a nalgala. Okay, for some of you that don't know that, it's taking that board. I remember in eighth grade going to Granger Junior High. And we had some gym teachers, Coach Stubbs and Coach Nichols. And when we got out of line, man, we had to go to their office, and he had a big old paddle with holes in it. Bent over right now. Wham! We didn't grab a towel and do that no more. That's what we were doing. We were just doing the towel, whap! Hitting someone right back there, man. And they went, whap! That hurt. Especially you're in the shower. That hurt. He would catch us, man, and we'd get a swat like no other. Aren't you so blessed to know that every now and then God has to come and swat you? Yes, he does. But you know what? It's not to condemn us. It's to restore us. It's to strengthen us. It's to keep us on the track, on the road, because he's coming for his church soon. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. And so, in verse 7, look at this, right up here. If you endure the chastity, meaning when God has to correct you every now and then, and you just endure it, say, God, thank you, I needed it. God deals with you as with sons. You're my child. You're my child. You got to get a hold of this. Because this is not, oh, man, just say a prayer, man, I could just go live any way I want. No. We are eternally secure, but by knowing that, he will deal with us individually when we get out of line. For what? Look at this. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Man, if you don't bring your kids in alignment, something's wrong. Something's out of order. But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. And let me just say this in the King James Version. How many of you have a King James Bible? Find this scripture real quick. King James. King James, come on, find it real quick. And I want you to shout that out real loud, because I'm using the New King James, and it says you are illegitimate. But what does King James word says? Yell it out. You are, go ahead, sister. Right? But right there, what does it say? Then you are what? We all thought that was a curse word. You know what a bastard is? An illegitimate son. In other words, that ain't my kid. That ain't my kid. Man, you don't want to have God say that about you. Amen? We are his. Can I get amen? We're his. All right, so deal with it. Deal with it. Amen? Listen, saints, when you find out that he chose you, oh, my gosh, you will find out that it's not what you did for him. Because I don't care what you try to do for him, you're going to fall short. the Bible says, of the glory of God. He wants you to walk in faith with him. Oh, Lord, point me the way. Oh, God, help me. Correct my life. Oh, God, let me be the man and woman that you called me to be. Why? Because he says right here in the scripture right up here. Let's go to the next verse right up here. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to what? As adopted children. Look at this. By Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It wasn't our will, it was his will. Look at this. To the praise and the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Man, I'm going to leave us with this story. This is going to set someone free. Because I know some of your stories. I know some of you ventured right back out to Egypt. You left the grace of God, and you tiptoed out of God's call and God's will, and you stepped out and you said, man, I'm going to go out here and do my thing. And many of us are guilty of that. Now, he could say, okay, go. You're not coming back to me. You're a disgrace. Don't even come back. Oh, here he comes. Close the blinds. Muzzle the dog. We're not home. Does he say that? Huh? Would he ever say that? Not the God that I know. Not the God that I love. And once again, you better show this to me, Pastor Fien. All right, let's go to the next verse. We're going to close with this story. Look at this, in Luke 15. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falls to me. So he divided them and gave to his sons. Okay, we get that. This guy said, man, I want everything now. I can't wait. I can't wait. And this is why we have to be patient, because God has given us eternal life. God has given us a new body. God has given us the providence of God, that God has something better in mind than this earth that we live in. Can I get an amen? But this guy said, man, I want everything now. So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. You know where he went? He went back to the clubs. Hey, man, yeah, what's up? Spending money on call girls. Oh, yeah. He was wallowing in the muck and mire. He went back. Oh, man, I got to do one in the morning. I got to do one in the afternoon. I got to hit that bong again. Yeah, he went back, forgot about his father, forgot about the promises. He forgot about the kingdom of God. He was out there doing his own thing, wasn't he? And some of you were just like him. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? And so let's go on to the next verse. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Oh, man, there's no more food. Oh, man, I got no more money. So all my friends left me. Man, I used to, oh, come on, all the rounds are on me. No more money. So let me just say this. You're a friend of the world. As soon as you don't have any more ducats, they're gone. They will cut and dry and leave you. I don't know him. But you were spending God's inheritance on them. Foolishly, lavishly. But money ran out. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. He had nothing left but to now go labor in a farm camp where they were feeding the pigs. What? Look at this. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. You know what pods are? Those are the corn husks that they chew, they spit out every now and then. They'll come back and lick it up and spit it out again. Because they don't have the right teeth to chew it. Look at this. And he would gladly fill his stomach with the pods that are the swine that what they ate. And no one gave him anything. Did you catch that? No one gave him anything. How many of you can just go back to the time when you left the will of God and you can see that you were once right there? All hope gone. No one loves you. No one cares for you. No one even thought about coming to save your bacon. You were an outcast. You were ostracized. You were downtrodden. You were belittled. You were talked about. Oh, how dare you? Even the church folk, how dare you? How can this be? You know better. You know the things of God. Leave them alone. They deserve that. That's our stinking thinking. Can I get an amen? Let's move on to the next verse. But when he came to himself, there are going to be a time where, man, I had it better at my father's house. People loved me there. I had food to eat there. My mama made me fresh tortillas in the morning. I had chorizo and huevo in the morning. But I'm right here. And it smells like poo-poo in here. Come on. Is this hitting home somewhere? Huh? I'm hoping that you're going to have a paradigm change on who God is. But look at this. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Come on. You remember those back alleys you once used to be in? Looking into the trash bins? What did someone leave here today? Yeah, I know that's been 3 days, but I'm hungry. Look what he said. I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. This is where God will allow, hallelujah, repentance to rise up. Because, hallelujah, we have a knowledge of who God is. We know what he did at the cross, hallelujah. We know that the blood was shed, hallelujah, for the redemption. Hallelujah, for the remissions of sins for us. And look at this. Make me like one of your hired servants. He didn't care about being a son. He just wanted to go back. Because he had it better there. Young children, young youth that are in here. This is a story that you never want to go out to that world. Because that world is cruel. They will chew you up and spit you out. And so he had to gather himself. And look what it says in the next verse. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off. Listen. For some of you, you can see far away. For some of you, you need some glasses to look a little further. He started coming back to his father. And what did the father do? We're not home. Here he comes, that wretched one. Shut the blinds. Man, muzzle those two dogs. Stop them from barking. Oh, I don't want him to know we're home. How many of you have done that before? Oh, no, here comes so-and-so. I don't really care for them. Have we said that before? Okay, keep living. You will maybe one day. Look at this. Man, that's, uh-oh. That's a call from Jesus. He's saying, hurry up, preacher.
gone too long now. But look at this. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, and he had what? Compassion. Say that with me. Compassion. Thank you, God. And he ran, and he fell on his neck and kissed him. Wow. Just imagine the stench that this boy had. He probably hadn't showered in a few days, maybe a couple of weeks. We know how the homeless smell. Come on. We've been out there. We fed them. They got that certain odor, don't they? He came running to his father, but his father sprinted toward him. It was a full-on sprint. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Repentance rose up. Remembrance rose up. The knowledge of God's goodness rose up. And look what it says. But the father said to his servants, Hallelujah. Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and let's kill it and let us eat and be merry. Hallelujah. This is the grace of God. This is the mercy of God. I don't care how far you've been away from God. God still receives you as his son. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. I don't care how far away you want to go. You can't run too far. Hallelujah. Because he'll leave the 99 and go and get you. Look at this. For this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Hallelujah. And then God spoke to me regarding the other brother. Because some of us can do well in church and, you know, never have that testimony. Well, man, you know, I went back out in the world. And some of you have been in the house of God since the day you got saved. But how do you receive one that was lost? How do you receive the one that comes back in the door and say, mercy? Yes. Mercy. Yes. He had a problem with his other son. Look at this. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Hey man, what's going on in here? I'm out here doing my father's will. I'm being a soldier for Christ. Look at this. So he called one of the servants and asked, hey, what do these things mean? And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But look what, instead of the brother saying, man, I am so blessed, I'm going to go run and congratulate him. The Bible said he got angry. Look at this. But he was angry and would not go in. Oh, how could you? How could he? He probably stinks. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So God had to come to the other son. Let me share some things with you, son. Next verse. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. So he's saying, God, how can you do this? I've been faithful. I've been in your house. I've been doing the things you have called me to do. But why him? Look at this. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. See, you know what this is? Self-righteous people. No. And they look down on you. Are you really saved? They'll judge you. They'll talk bad about you. Instead of saying, "How God, how can I pray and intercede for him?" He got mad with self-indignation. He rose up against his own brother. But aren't you so blessed how God deals with us?
God always has the answer. God always has the fix. I don't care what predicament you find yourself in. God will always fix your life. Can I get an amen? If he created you, he knows every cell and fiber of your being. Let's go on to the next verse. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead, and he is alive again. Can I get an amen? He was useless at one time. He was dead. But God allowed him, hallelujah, to come into back to the household of faith, and he became alive again. Hallelujah. And how many of you have that same testimony? What God has done for you. Thank you, God. He said, and he was lost, and he is found. Saints, let this word today resonate in your heart when you leave here today. That God has a mighty plan for you. God will never bring condemnation to you. He'll bring conviction. That's totally different from condemnation. Condemnation comes from the devil. You dirty rat, you shouldn't have done this. Your daddy don't love you no more. Just run. It's better out here. That's a lie from the pit. That's a lie from the pit. God comes and he convicts us and says, listen, let's have a talk. And then he straightens us out. And then he puts us on the path. And we continue to walk in grace. We continue to walk in love. And we don't remember that transgression no more because he doesn't. Everything you've done, he has nailed on the cross. And so quit thinking about it. Let it go. Let go and let God. Can I get an amen? Let go and let God. And so as we close, saints, this message, and if you didn't hear last Sunday's, you got to get online because this connects with this message. Because we are tulips of God. And we found out today, and some of you already knew this, but some maybe, if you've been adopted by him, you are eternally his until he comes back for us. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, for your loving kindness. Oh, God, we are so blessed knowing, Lord, that every transgression, every sin was nailed at the cross. And Lord, all we have to do now is follow you. Lord, show me your ways. Teach me your ways, oh God. And when I sin, oh God, I confess those sins to you. And Lord, knowing that you wash me and cleanse me from all iniquity. Oh God, I pray, Lord, that we would also have a heart for our brothers and sisters, for our family members, for those who are not walking after you. Lord, that you would have mercy on them. That we wouldn't have a heart like the other brother. Oh, shame on them. They deserve what they get. No, we need to cry out. So, oh God, have mercy, mercy, mercy. Save them like you saved us, oh God. And when you start having a heart like the Father, God will do a mighty work in your life. Job was blessed tenfold because he prayed for his friends. Can we pray for one another? Can we pray for people that are hurting, that are lost? Huh? Can we really cry out to God? I hope to see some of you tonight to cry out for them. We're only here for an hour. We're not asking. We're not here for 3 hours. Whoa, ah, Shama, ah. No, we're lifting up our petitions, our supplications. We're lifting up our prayers. That God would do something radical in their life. Like he blessed us. Can I get an amen? And I'm crying out right now. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're listening to this message, cry out right now. We're going to pray with you. This prayer of faith is what it is.
Prayer is a tool given to a sinful man here on earth to communicate with the holy God in heaven. And so if you're here, if you're listening to this message, pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death and your burial and your resurrection. I believe that you died for me. I believe the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, give them praise. Man, I've heard you clap your hands louder at a Charger game. And they always lose.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.